Chapter 3, Mark 13.30.31. Thunder rolls through the glowering skies above the shattered palace of Leptius Numinus. It starts to rain torrentially. The weather patterns of the abused planet are convulsing again. Ventana stands for a moment and lets the streaming rain wash the foul black ichor off his armor. He feels the water hitting his face. He opens his eyes and watches Spaz's flamer squads burning the slime, the blubbery black flesh and the noxious inky entrails the demon left behind when it exploded. The flame jets sizzle and hiss ferociously in the rain. He walks up to what's left of the palace atrium. Celaton is waiting for him.
"You killed it," Celaton notes.
"I don't agree with your definition."
"You sent it away, then. How did you do that?"
"Luck. Luck of the very worst kind." Ventanus glances back at the ruined gardens, the ragged walls, the rubble of the gate.
"We can't stay here," he says.
"Zia said other forces were coming. This place was hard to defend before. It will be impossible again. This was never a fortress."
"Agreed. But what about the data engine?" asks Celaton.
"Good question." Ventanus notices that his sergeant is holding a sack. He takes it from him and looks inside. It is full of black daggers, ritual knives. Some are black metal, some glass, some napped flint. Some handles are wire, some leather, some snakeskin. Celaton has collected them from the Brotherhood dead.
"You used Seer's weapon against the demon," says Celaton simply. "Theoretical. These blades work. Their own weapons work."
"You may be right," says Ventanus. He looks into the sack. The blades shine and glint in the shadows of the bag.
"But I'm afraid these things are as toxic and dangerous as the monsters we want to use them against."
"Throw them away, Celaton. Drop them into a well. Put a grenade in the sack and hurl it into the ditch. We can't start using these."
"But," Ventanus looks at him, "theoretical. That's how it began with the 17th, he says. "Expedient use of an exotic weapon to turn back an unexpectedly resistant new foe. Strange daggers found in some Xenos tomb or temple? What harm can they do? They cut demon flesh. It's worth the risk."
A look of utter distaste crosses Celaton's face.
"I'll dispose of them, sir," he says.
Ventanus walks to the stack room. He passes the chambers where Psydance is watching the Magi, trying to reconnect the vox.
"Well fought," Psydance says, clasping his hand. "I was the 13th Eldar this time," replies Ventanus, "but we won't get that grace again. Is the vox up?"
"They're working on it. The data link is still active. The server wants to see you."
"Good. I want to see her."
Ventanus enters the stack room. Torren has disconnected herself from the chattering data engine. One of her magi, Uldort, has taken her place in the MIU link to maintain processing.
"Captain," Torren says.
"Server."
"This data engine is not powerful enough to seize control of the grid," she says flatly. "Moreover, it is not powerful enough to run the grid."
"So that's it," asks Ventanus. "Our contribution now is to collate and supply data to the fleet until such time as we are exterminated."
"That will be the fate of Leptius Numinus," she agrees. "However, please place that contribution in context. This is the only loyalist data engine at work on Kalth. It is not just a vital source of data, it is the only source of data."
She shows him data slate displays.
"We have built a picture of resistance across the planet. It is broken and scattered, but it is fierce. Spread across hundreds of locations, as many as 30,000 of your battle brothers and 200,000 army and mechanicum warriors are still active. Coordinated, they can achieve more than if they remain uncoordinated."
"This palace can only provide coordination for a short time," says Ventanus. "The enemy is on its way."
"The picture is not totally dark, Captain. About 15 minutes ago, I made one profound discovery."
The memory of that revelation makes Torren smile. It is bittersweet, almost painful to think of, and yet uplifting. She found Hest's gift. She found what he was working on when he died, what he hid so scrupulously, so it would be safe until she uncovered it.
"My predecessor," she says, managed to configure a kill code to combat the enemy scrap code sequence. He achieved this feat shortly before he died. It was an act of desperation and genius. It is a sublime and intuitive piece of coding, and only Hest could have done it.
We can use it to purge? Asked Ventanus.
Hest hid the kill code in a secure data engine, which he then closed off and sealed. The data engine is the manifest cogitator of a cargo handling guild of the starport. It is in a secure bunker in the industrial zone between Numinous Starport and Landshear landing grounds. It runs cargo operations for both ports, and thus is more than powerful enough to manage the data load of the planetary weapons grid. As a civilian engine, it was not a primary military target. Hest cleaned it with his kill code, and then shut it away.
It was why he kept going until the very last moment, Torin now realizes. It was why he wouldn't leave his post, even when the scrap code had maimed his mind. He had to finish. He was determined to finish. He was hanging on as long as he could to get it done. "Can you control this engine remotely?" asks Ventanus.
"No, Captain. I need direct MIU access to launch the kill code. Once I have purged a pathway into the system, I can create a new manifold and assume command of the grid."
"Getting to the port zone won't be easy."
"Of course it won't," she agrees. "There is an additional issue."
"Go on," says Ventanus.
"The enemy is controlling the grid using a captured data engine on one of the surviving orbital platforms. I can purge the system, but I cannot override that control. We need fleet assistance to target the platform."
He nods. "What about the engine here?" he asks.
"It must remain functional for the greatest period possible," Torin replies. "Magos Uldort has volunteered to stay with the engine and keep it running as long as she can."
"It is a death sentence," says Ventanus, looking at the young Magos at the MIU link. "The word-bearers are coming."
"Kalf is a death sentence, Captain," the server replies. "All that matters is how we face it."
He is silent for a moment. "Prepare your staff for travel, server," he says. "See what you can do via the data link to coordinate force response to support our assault on the port zone."
He walks back to the Vox chamber. In the doorway, he tells Sidon, Celaton, and Grievous to mobilize the forces.
"We're evacuating this site," he says. "We're going back to the port. Gather as much punch as you can, fighting vehicles especially. We're going to have to cut our way into it." "This doesn't sound good," says Sidon's.
"It sounds like it sounds," says Ventanus. "It's the only worthwhile practical we have left. I need that link. I need the Vox. We'll be wasting our time without fleet coordination. Tell the Magi I need the Vox."
They move off, urgent. He waits. He thinks. Aruk appears.
"I'm staying," says the Skitari.
"I could use you."
"My duty is to the Mechanicum, Ventanus. This data engine needs to stay alive for as long as possible. You understand duty."
Ventanus nods. He holds out his hand. Aruk looks at it for a moment, baffled by the unfamiliar business of social interaction. He grips Ventanus's hand.
"We march for Macrag," says Ventanus.
"We stand for Mars," replies Aruk. "It means the same thing."
They turn. A Sullus approaches. The captain's armor is badly scratched and dented. He is limping. It will take a long while for his bones to knit.
"I will remain here too, Ventanus," he says. "The Skitari could use a few Legion guns. Right now I'm not fit to march far, but I can stand and shoot."
Ventanus looks Sullus in the eyes.
"Teus, this wasn't your fault," he says. "This isn't atonement, Remus," Sullus replies. "I don't feel sorry for myself. This wasn't anybody's fault, but we're all going to end up paying whatever we can. Take the port, win the grid, kill their fleet. Remember my name while you're doing it."
"We have Vox,"
Sidance yells. Ventanus takes the speaker horn the Magos offers him.
"This is Ventanus, commanding Leptius Numinous. Ventanus, Ventanus, requesting priority encrypt link with the 13th Fleet. Respond."
"This is 13th Fleet flagship," the Vox crackles. "Your authority codes are recognized.
Stand by.
A new voice comes onto the link. Remus?
My Primarch, says Ventanus.
You sound surprised.
I thought you had officers to run Voxnets for you, sir.
I do, but just this once. I was worried that your surprise might stem from rumours of my death.
That too, my Primarch. It will boost spirits here to know that you are healthy.
The Vox fizzles and whines. I said you've done a good day's work, Captain, says the Vox. The data you are sending is invaluable. Gage is coordinating our forces.
It's a bad day, sir.
I can't remember a worse one, Remus.
This facility may not remain functional for very much longer, sir. Expect to lose the data feed in the next few hours, but we're going to get the grid, sir. We're going to retake the grid.
Good news, Remus. It's killing us. It's killing the sun, too. I think the 17th want to kill everything that ever lived.
It looks that way down here, too, sir. Sir, this is important.
The Vox washes and crackles again. Say again, Leptius, say again. Ventanus, do you copy?
Ventanus, sir, I read you. The interrupts are getting worse. Sir, we can't complete our control of the grid unless the fleet can take out the orbital the enemy is running it from. We can purge their code once we're in, but we can't break it. The fleet needs to target and destroy their grid command location as a priority.
Understood, Remus. A priority. Can you identify the target?
Ventanus looks at Sidance. Sidance hands him a data slate. I can, sir, says Ventanus.
Mark 14.01.01. Remus, say again, demands Gilliman. Ventanus, respond. Respond. What is the target? What is the target?
He looks at the Master of Vox. Vox lost, sir, says the Master of Vox. Electromagnetic screeches issue from the speakers.
Data link from Leptius also just went down, says Gage.
Did we lose them? Asks Gilliman. Damn it. Did we just lose Ventanus and his force?
No, sir, says the Master of Vox. It's an interrupt, a severe interrupt. It's the sun, says Empion. They all look at the main viewer. Bombarded by concentrated energy and laced with toxic reactive heavy metals, the Viridian star is suffering a gross imbalance in its solar metabolism. Its natural internal chain reactions and energetic processes have been disrupted and agitated. Its radiation levels are rising. Its output is visibly increasing as it starts to burn through its fuel resources at an unnaturally accelerated rate. Its blue-white wrath is growing more fierce, like a malignant light. A demonic light. Black sunspot crusts seethe across its tortured surface. Staggering, lethal flares rip away from it in tongues of flame and lashing arcs of energy millions of kilometers across. It is going nova. Mark 14.01.59. Thunder rolls. Out in the dismal fog of the channel, Oll steers the skiff through the black water, passing burning watercraft that are half sunk, passing pale ballooned corpses floating in the brown scum. He thinks there is a boat behind them, away behind, another skiff or a launch, but it might just be the echo of their own engine in the fog. Crank is sleeping. Zybes sit staring off the bow. Cat and Graft are wherever their minds go to. Rain twitches in the clutch of a nightmare. They have bundled him in blankets. He probably won't recover from his ordeal. Oll takes out his compass and checks the bearing as best he can. Thrasius. It still seems to be Thrasius. That used to be the word for the wind from the north-northwest, before the cardinal points of the compass rose were co-opted for other purposes and given more esoteric meanings. Thrasius. That's what the Greekans called it. That's what they called it when he sailed back across the sun-kissed waters to Thessaly in Jason's crew, with a witch and a sheepskin to show for their efforts. The Romani, They called it Circeus. Down in the ore decks of the galleys, he hadn't much cared about the names of the winds they were rowing against. The Franks called it Nordwesteroni. All looks up. A star suddenly appeared, visible even through the black fog and atmospheric filth. It is harsh, bright, blue-white. It is malevolent. A star of ill omen. It means the end is coming, and coming fast. But at least he now has a star to steer by.